Well, hello everyone and welcome. I'm going to try to be calm in this video after I got a bit carried away yesterday. Come on, Zen, breathe. Remember the fourfold breath. We're going to have to try to calm down a little bit. We are talking today about the twin dangers for Restore Britain. A lot of people, you know, I've been pretty upbeat. I've been, positive about Restore. I think Rupert is the man. I think this is the shot, as I keep on saying. But of course, you know, people also want from me some realism, some, what are the dangers? What are the things to look out for? And I've identified what you might call two dangers, the dangers from below and the danger from above. That is how Restore Britain could go from being a vehicle for what we want, which is restoring Britain, saving the country, and how it could deviate from that mission. It is not impossible for Restore to be successful. I wouldn't be backing them, like I said, even if it's a 5% chance, a 10% chance, 20%. I mean, some of the bookies have got Rupert above Nigel in the odds to be the next PM already. So, you know, it's not impossible. Even the bookies are saying it's not impossible. I'll take those odds all day long, whatever they are. But we have to be realistic. And we know, you know, don't forget, I wrote The Populist Delusion, The Iron Law of Oligarchy. Hello. Obviously, we have to be aware of some of the dangers. In this video, I'm going to outline exactly what they are. And I'm also going to give some suggestions for what the lads can do to stop it happening. For what Rupert and his team, you know, what they can look out for, etc. Just suggestions, of course. I'm not formally affiliated with Restore or any party. I just give my value-free analysis. Although, on this occasion, I am actually backing this party. I'm endorsing them, you know, as things stand. Before we get going, I'll just remind people, pick up courses at the Academic Agency. Trivium is the bestseller. As I mentioned before, at one point, every 12-year-old was expected to do the Trivium. That's writing, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, those three core skills. And it's kind of interesting that sometime around the late 50s, early 60s, right around the time of the Cultural Revolution, you know, they decided people didn't need those critical thinking skills anymore. You know, because once you're armed with how to write, how to break down an argument logically, and how to use logic and how to construct an argument logically, and what to look out for with people using rhetoric, which breaks all of the other rules. Once you know those things, you can't unsee them. So I honestly think it is, if you're going to do one course from me, start with foundations of writing and then work up to do the whole Trivium. There are many other great courses available. I'll just play the Foundations of Writing ad. When I come back, I'm going to talk all about these twin dangers.
Buy Foundations of Writing on the Academic Agency. To write clearly will help you to think clearly. The ability to communicate ideas in lucid prose is foundational to success in many areas, and it is a basic requirement in every walk of life. You will learn the parts of speech and come to understand the core functions of the English language, sentence construction and syntax, punctuation, style, and common mistakes. Once you see how mistakes are made, you will not unsee them. You will know for the rest of your life. Foundations of Writing. Buy it now.
All right, so let's talk about the danger from below and the danger from above. So the danger from below really comes in two forms. The first is simply message discipline. As the ranks grow, as more and more people get involved, message discipline is going to be absolutely paramount. That means there everybody needs to be on the same page. They need to know. I mean, this is where you can actually start learning from people like, you know, Tony Blair and so on. You don't want to become them, because obviously they were fake and they were all the rest of it, you know, the age of spin and all of that. But one of the things they did do very well is that every single person knew what the party line was. Everybody knew what the right thing to say was at any time. And as time goes on, I think they're going to get better and better at the message discipline. But, you know, I noticed on the interview with Lotus Eaters, Rupert had this idea. He wanted people to sign up. He wanted help. He wanted the rank and file to help. I encourage people to get involved. But that has, okay, and again, this is just Elite Theory 101. You need captains. You need organization. You need management. If you don't have discipline and management, this can spiral out of control very quickly. And local chapters could go rogue, okay? They could go rogue. And in the current environment, where obviously Restore and an insurgent party, it's going to have lots of enemies. The people are going to be trying to infiltrate. There could be saboteurs, saboteurs from the left, saboteurs from foreign agents, saboteurs from Reform, you know. So there's going to have to be iron discipline. And unfortunately, that means for many people, you know, you've got to have to control. You know, there's a lot of low impulse control on the right, something I've talked about many times. Okay, you need to be sensible. You need to be centered. This is something Morgoth talked about as well. If you're going to be working for Restore, this is, if you're going to actually be doing stuff for them, it's going to take some discipline, okay? That means you don't start posting end towers or blurting out expletives or, you know, you have to behave. You have to be professional. Otherwise, it's going to undermine the whole thing. Now, I did have some ideas for how this could work, inspired actually by the medieval village. In fact, I have the book here by Arthur Bryant. I'll just show you this book, The Medieval Foundation of Britain, by a great historian called Arthur Bryant. And in there, he talks about how local manors worked, right, on the ground. Everybody knows about the baronial lord and so on, but how did it actually function? And every little village had three key people. They had a steward who was basically there in the absence of the lord, whoever that was, the baron, who was often away fighting wars or whatever else. They'd often not be home. The steward basically took care of the legal and financial side of things. Then there was the reeve, who was basically like a kind of local manager, who did logistics and operations. And then there was the shreve, or later on the sheriff, who did law enforcement. Now, I'm not actually suggesting to use these titles. And I know there's some kind of compliance thing where to register as a party, you know, there's certain things that you need. But what I'm talking about here is the function, okay? What I'm suggesting here is that the shreve looks at content, messaging, and propaganda. The reason I'm emphasizing this is that, and I know I've had some pushback off this. So somebody said, oh, well, you know, you need to operate like a quote-unquote normal political party. You kind of, you know, I was like, well, the thing is, you have to think like an insurgency, okay? Restore Britain is not it's an anti-establishment party, okay? Which means that, in a sense, you need to be thinking a little bit like Lenin and the Bolsheviks. This structure here was similar to what the Bolsheviks did. Lenin wrote a book in 1902 called What Needs to Be Done. And in that, he put particular emphasis on needing to have a guy there that managed the messaging, the content, the propaganda, you call it what you want, basically whatever that party line is, okay, to ensure there's an ideological coherence as well. And so logistics and operations are like, well, who's going to do the balloons? Who's going to do the cakes? Who's going to do the leaflets and so on? You know, working out the rotor, all that sort of shit. But the content side, I think, is important to get right if you're going to be talking to punters from the public. Everybody needs to be on the same page. Now, there's a role called campaign manager, I know. But to me, this needs to be like, how can I say? I mean, I used to work in events back in the day with financial. You know, we put on events, and it was financial services and investment banks and things like that. This was my job. I was a producer, eventually a senior producer. I was pretty good at it as well. And my job was to basically make sure that the content, the actual, like, the copy, all of the academic stuff, all the intellectual stuff, the thing that would actually make people go, the content, that was seen as being as important as the logistics and the operations side and the money side, because ultimately it's the content that brings people to the dance. But also, you know, there was a whole, I mean, I used to give briefings to, like, sales teams and marketing and so on, and they would have to know in kind of lay terms what the kind of key bullet points were. So I'd give lots of briefing to people, because, you know, I wouldn't be out there. I'd be, you know, I just dealt with that sort of stuff. Then I think for Restore to work across the country, there needs to be somebody like that with an eye on those sorts of things. And the reason I'm emphasizing this kind of tripartite structure here is because it's a different function from the legal financial oversight and the logistics and the operations. And you actually need to see it as three separate functions. You can give these any titles you want. You can give them modern titles. You can call it campaign manager or whatever else. But, you know, and ideally that person would tailor, the part of their remit, I guess, would be to tailor some local concerns for the local campaign, right? I mean, who knows what it is? Maybe if you're in Birmingham, they need the bins done, or, you know, round by me, there's a problem with whatever it is. You know, a light hasn't worked for ages, or whatever it is. I don't know what the local issues are. You know, they'd need some eye on that, but also with an eye to keeping coherence across the party. Because when I listened to Rupert talk, he just seemed to have some idea of, like, some spontaneous bottom-up order. Okay, I mean, it has to be something like this, where there's a structure, because otherwise it's not going to work, right? Simple as that. The rank and file need to, you know, be marshaled. They need to know what to do. The logistics need to be sorted out, but also they need to know what to say, and pivotally, what not to say. And with this, there's a lot of scope to go wrong. Okay, there's a lot of scope. Like, you know, imagine you have a rank and file guy, and he's you know, talking to members of the public, and he's, you know, dropping in casual racism or something. That's not gonna be right. So that is what I'd say is one of the potential dangers from, you know, from below. Another problem, of course, I talked about it yesterday, was, you know, there's all these influential people, you know, Steve Laws, Tommy Robinson, you know, Rupert is popular. So people are circling at the moment. I'll just put this off a minute. People are circling at the moment, right? Almost like, you know, they want Rupert to be their man type thing. That means there are lots of people circling. They want a piece of the action. They want to, in pro wrestling terms, they want to rub, right? They want to rub off Rupert, and they also want to lend, you know, their people to Rupert as well. Now, this is a kind of something that they're going to have to navigate, because obviously it would be a disaster, I think, to formally bring in, right, somebody like Tommy Robinson or somebody like Steve Laws. Okay. I mean, in pure Marxist terms, what is Tommy Robinson? What does he represent? Tommy Robinson is basically the leader of a counter gang of lumpen proletariat. Okay. Lumpen proletariat. That is how Lenin and the Bolsheviks would see Tommy and his crew. So obviously it's fraught with danger. Also, Tommy has backers, Tommy has special interests that he answers to, and all of that. So that kind of angle. So they need to kind of thread a needle here, Restore. They don't need to throw him under the bus. They don't need to disavow Steve Laws or punch right or any of that sort of stuff. That's the reform way. They need to do what Donald Trump did, and just kind of keep, like, a safe, kind of don't throw them under the bus, accept their support, be happy for their support, but you don't need to bring them in. Bringing them in would jeopardize the whole thing, especially Tommy. But Tommy would wreck the whole thing, okay? So just kind of, you know, you need to keep, like, exactly as Trump did back in 2016, right back then, just don't throw them under the bus. You can, it's a difficult one, but also don't accept them, accept them in and give them roles and things like that. That would be silly as well. So it's a kind of balancing act, and I think they've done a decent job with that so far. One of the things that I would do is study how Donald Trump did it back in 2016, where he, sometimes a journalist would ask him, and he'd just say, well, I've never met him. I don't know who that is. You know, like, it's a decent way of dealing with it, because it means that you don't have to throw him under the bus, right? You don't have to throw the person under the bus. And then Trump would just march on to the next point or whatever else. They wouldn't dwell on it. You know, because all of these tactics will be coming. These are all things the media will try to do to attack Rupert. They're going to use Steve Laws. They're going to use Tommy. They're going to use any person they can find, right, to attack them. All you need to do is, like, well, I never met them. I don't know who that is. You know, if they said they support me, that's fine. But, you know, they're not part of Restore, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. What else then? So that's really the danger from below. The danger from above, okay, and this is absolutely crucial as well, is blocking entryism into the vanguard and staying absolutely mission focused. The mission being to save Britain. Now, there's all sorts of ways that this can go wrong. One of the big problems is money, of course. Once money gets involved, the people giving the money will expect the party to represent their interests. What's important is keeping the vanguard tight and exclusive, not letting people into that inner circle and not allowing that inner circle to deviate from the core mission. Now, I've said it before, a political formula cannot brook an end, okay? Let's say your mission is A. Special interests, their mission is B. Special interests, no matter who they are going to try to replace A with B. You have to do whatever possible to stop A becoming B. Now, I've made this super simple with the help of this diagram. Let's pretend this is Rupert and his core team. You see, there's lovely smiley Rupert, and there's four lovely smiling. I'm colorblind, so I can never. Is it blue? Is it purple? I don't fucking know. But anyway, let's pretend they're blue, right? There's four lovely blue smiling lads there who are true blue, and then there's one orange face. That orange face, let's say everybody knows what the mission is. The mission is A. That orange face, secretly or explicitly, as B as his mission. He represents a special interest. He is not on the same page as everybody else. And he represents a problem. Now, this is just hypothetical. I'm not saying this is the case within Restore. I'm giving you a hypothetical. Four nice, good children, one bad egg. How do we deal with him? Because if you don't deal with him, he can start causing issues. Okay, he can start causing lots of issues. So what I would like to do is to block him off, right? Block him off. Try to stop him talking to Rupert and do your best to isolate him. We want to isolate him. We want him to make him feel kind of not welcome. We want to ice him out. So ideally, he becomes sad and buggers off. That's ultimately what we want to do with him. Because if you don't deal with him, he will slowly but surely, he'll either try to convert one of the other faces to orange, or he'll start to connive and turn Rupert orange, or eventually, If Rupert turns orange, the four other guys will be replaced with other oranges. And before you know it, the whole team becomes orange. So you need to stop A becoming B. And it doesn't really matter what that special interest is. You can fill in the blanks. If you don't deal with that person, he is at risk of wrecking the whole thing by turning the whole thing orange. So you need to deal with him. And it needs to be ruthless. And it needs to be, you know, this is like proper politics now. He needs to be dealt with, or he risks upsetting the whole thing. Why does he risk upsetting the whole thing? Because he's turning the mission A to being a different mission B. The mission is A. The mission is not B. It's really, really super simple. And the more he tries to push and make it B, the more he needs to be ostracized and pushed out of the organization and replaced with another blue. And this is going to be the hardest thing for Restore. How do they stop the process of this fucking Grimmer worm tongue turning other members of the team orange or turning Rupert orange? Because Rupert does not have a very good orange radar. He's a 68-year-old man, okay? And he may be a little bit naive about certain aspects of politics. He doesn't have a good orange radar. I've seen enough of him to know that. These other guys may have a better orange radar. If there's an orange in the team, he needs to be isolated and iced out and replaced with a blue. Otherwise, the whole this is what I'm talking about, thinking like a Bolshevik, thinking like Lenin. Would Lenin or Stalin or any of the others accept an orange in their midst? We're the Bolsheviks, but see, this guy's a mensch. Unacceptable. Deviation. Left deviation or a right deviation. Got to get him out of the party. So that, I think, is how the vanguard, the inner circle, has to think. And in terms of recruitment and so on, that ideally you want to be like, well, they need to be blue. We need to make sure they're not orange. Because the more oranges you accept into the organization, the closer the oranges get to Rupert, the more grimmer worm tongues there are, the more the mission A turns to being B. So that's it. Those are the dangers from above and the dangers from below. Let me know what you make of all of that in the comments. I mean, there's a few other dangers from above, of course. You know, people are circling right now. So you from below, like I said, there's Tommy and Steve and various other people. And it's fine for them to support as long as they don't want to try to take it over or they don't want formal recognition. If you let them in, they'll cause trouble and they'll wreck the whole thing, okay? They can give help as Twitter shock troops or whatever, but if you let them in, the formal organization is going to wreck the whole thing, absolutely. So there's that. But there's also other people circling. Ben Habib is one of the big ones, Advance UK. Now, if you ask me, Ben Habib, right, is an orange. Ben Habib is an orange and has to be not allowed. I mean, I think they've played it well. They said, look, you're welcome to join. You're welcome to kind of support us. But Ben, you are not getting into that inner circle. You are not going to become a decision maker. We've already got a leader. You, Ben, clearly represent orange interests. He's an orange, not a blue. That's why Ben Habib is causing trouble. Because Ben Habib has other interests other than simply mission A. That is going to be the most difficult thing for Restore to stay on the mission at hand and not deviate from it. Now, I will say that since Rupert has left Reform UK, he's been pretty good at staying focused on the core things they're focusing on. There's been a huge amount of things that they could have been distracted over, and they have not allowed those things to distract them. They've stayed focused. So they've already got good discipline, and they've already got a good vanguard. But that is the danger. And I fear there may already be an orange in the ranks. He needs to be taken out. Imagine you're setting up a party to save the country, and in your meeting, fucking Grimmer Wormtongue is sitting there. We don't want Wormtongue to not be part of the Fellowship of the Ring. Okay, he can't be. Wormtongue out. Wormtongue fired. Ideally, that's what needs to happen. Again, I don't know if that is actually the case, but that's how they need to be thinking. That's how the party has to be organized, especially in these early stages. Because the iron law of oligarchy is a very powerful force, and it can threaten, and we've seen how it takes over all this energy at the moment. It'll be gone overnight if Restore just looks like yet another establishment party or yet another party that is, you know, really focused on B rather than A. And there it is in a nutshell. Let me know what you think, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll see you next time. Pick up a Trivium. So long for now. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.